Today's November 6th, 2024. Current Bitcoin price is $75,324.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
So, I don't want to say that we have liftoff, but do we have liftoff?
I'm afraid to call it liftoff yet, but I mean, we did cross an all-time high here in the past 24 hours, so
yeah,
something to be said about that.
Yes, we did. Yeah, it was kind of crazy. Last night we were kind of busy. We got together, and around that time, Bitcoin's price was about $69,277, maybe call it $69,300. And then about
69. Nice.
Nice. And then about 2 hours later, it popped up to like $75,039.
Well, I think when we checked, it was 74,000.
Yeah.
But that's still a $5,000 jump in the span of 2 hours, two and a half.
Yeah. That was some shorts got liquidated for sure.
Oh man, that would have been pretty rough.
So
shorted Bitcoin.
Before we start going into that, let's talk about what everybody else is going to want to hear about. And that's going to be our theoretical buys. So where are we at with those now?
Okay. Theoretical buy one back in October 27, 2023. So a little over a year ago, if you put $3,000, you would have got 0.0885 Bitcoin, which is basically 8.85 million Satoshis. And that value today, that $3,000 value, is now $6,666.
Oh, it's the devil's number.
Man, I was going to say it sounds way too much like the devil's number, except there's an extra six on it, I guess. Now, buy number two, theoretical purchase, if you would have made a $1,000 purchase right at the halving, which was April 19th, I believe. And $1,000 would have netted you at that time 0.01564 or 1.564 million Satoshis. And that is now worth $1,000 to 1178. So
wow. Not
doing too bad.
So we're above on both our trades finally.
Yes. Granted, the earlier trade, you're up, you know, what, $3,666?
Yeah.
That's not too bad.
No, it's not. And, you know, for those of you listening across the world that maybe you weren't paying attention to what was going on in the U.S. yesterday, it was election day, basically, right?
The problem with America is I don't think you have an option to not pay attention to what's happening in America.
Like it's in everybody's face.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, we were looking at the flows, and if you look at it, like we had a pretty solid week all through the end of October. Going into the beginning of November, obviously, you know, the weekend, there wasn't a whole lot going on. Picked back up on the 4th and, you know, you had some, it was basically a negative day, almost 541 million of outflows that took place that day. And then on the 5th, which was actually election day itself proper, like even IBIT, like had 44.2 million of outflows that day, a total of 116 million worth of outflows that happened that day. Now, I've seen the rumors. Obviously, the ETF flows don't have it listed yet because IBIT never lists until the following day as to what they've done. But from some of the rumors that I've heard is that there was $1 billion worth of inflows into IBIT in the first 20 minutes of trading this morning. So just so what we have here, like even Grayscale had positive inflows today. We had 691 million of what's been reported so far, and we still don't have numbers for the BTCD and the IBIT. So we're still waiting on those. So I'm kind of curious to see what that IBIT number is going to be when we get to record again. But man, oh man, like that was kind of a good indicator whenever we checked the price that second time as to what was going on with the election, right?
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
you know... I don't know, like, regardless of whether you like Trump or not, if you're invested in cryptocurrency in any way, shape, or form, you really wanted him to win.
I agree, but I don't think if Kamala would have won, it would have made, I mean, it would have made a difference right now, but long term, I don't think it would have made a difference. I think after the elections are settled, that's when the liftoff tends to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you mentioned.
Go ahead.
Didn't you mention that every election cycle, I mean, after the Bitcoin halving, then there's the election. And whatever the price is at election, it never sees that again.
Correct. Correct. So that theoretically what we saw with that $69,000 Bitcoin, we may never see that again. Like that may have been the threshold right there of like, we may never see Bitcoin that low ever again.
Yep. The only question is okay, if we're never going to see 69,000, how high is it going to go this cycle?
That's the big question. Like, I've got coworkers that work internationally, and I was talking with one of the ones from Canada the other day, and she was wanting to sell her ETFs because Canada's had Bitcoin ETFs a lot longer than what we have. And she's like, do I sell? And I said, don't sell yet. I said, wait till at least till after the election, if you want to offload some. I said, but wait till that happens. She is not a fan of Trump at all. Like, she terribly hates him. But I told her, I said, well, what's going to happen is either Bitcoin's going to do well either way. You know, I said, but I said, if one person gets elected, more than likely you're going to see a nice little pop up in price. I said, if the other person gets elected, you may not get that pop up, but eventually it'll all still come out in the wash. Like, it'll do what it needs to do.
Yep. And I can't disagree with those words at all.
Yeah. No, to me, it's solid advice. And I mean, it kind of sucks to say that, yeah, we may never get the chance to buy $69,000 Bitcoin again.
It's going to be 70 from here on out.
Yeah. So for those of you that missed that boat, you know, if you had money waiting on the sidelines and you're waiting for Bitcoin to go back down to like, say, $50,000, there's a pretty good chance at this point you're not going to ever see that again.
Yep. 100% agree.
So yeah, Bitcoin surges 10% off to a record of 76,000 as Trump victory heralds wider crypto adoption and weaker regulation. So obviously in the United States, we got a crypto-friendly president currently. Before we even kind of began, I was looking to see if any of his, and I don't know if that was his acceptance speech or what that was the other day, but I was looking to see if there's anything that was mentioning crypto, and there really wasn't. He was just thanking everybody for the work that was gone that went into the campaign. So I'm kind of curious to see.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't expect him to say anything about the crypto market just yet. He's probably just thankful that he won. And it's kind of crazy, but he not only won the Electoral College, he won the popular vote, which is a much better improvement from his two previous elections that he's been involved with.
We haven't seen a Republican candidate win the popular election along with the Electoral College since, I think they said Bush?
Yeah, George H.W. Bush.
Yeah.
Bush's daddy. Yep.
Yeah, like something like over 20 years ago or something along those lines. And
36 years ago, if my calculations are right. Yeah.
Is it that long ago?
Yeah.
Good Lord Almighty, I'm old.
1988.
Trying to find here. So, and actually one thing that was kind of cool was that October 31st, which we probably should have done an episode then, but things were kind of hectic. But October 31st was the anniversary of the white paper that was released by Satoshi on Halloween. And so I was looking at that and I retweeted it. I probably should just go to my retweets, but let me do that instead. I'm pulling that up. Talk amongst yourselves. Here's the topic. I should have had the better
beklempt.
I'm beklempt. A little beklempt. Where is... I would like to wish our great Bitcoiners a happy 16th anniversary of Satoshi's white paper. We will end Kamala's war on crypto and Bitcoin will be made in the USA. Vote Trump. And so he posted that on October 31st. I double checked it, made sure it was legit. And he's got on there hashtag Bitcoin, hashtag free Ross day one. So
we'll see if he does that. I mean, if he does free Ross Ulbricht day one, then I'll believe the rest of his talking points. Until then, it's just talking points.
Yeah. No, and that's one of the big things is that I really do hope the rhetoric that he's kind of put out there will, that he'll stick to it. Like, I mean, I really do. He's got a lot of people that are on his side, and that's one of the biggest things. Again, we've tried to avoid politics a lot on here. I know we still ended up talking about it, but it was kind of hard not to. But he's got such a phenomenal team around him that that's one of the big reasons that I was very optimistic for Trump. I mean, aside from the fact that he spoke at a Bitcoin conference, but he's got like three or four people that are all kind of really, they really like Bitcoin. So.
Well, one of them really likes Doge.
Yeah.
But we will not go there.
Well, he says he likes Doge, but then his company owns Bitcoin. So I'm not going to give it too hard of a time. That's been a big reason for celebration, I think, in the United States today. And that's the big reason why we're seeing the price doing what it's doing. We're in price discovery mode at this point. Like we don't know where things are going. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's resistance. We don't know, like, this is when Bitcoin starts to get exciting, when it starts to, you know, form new peaks and valleys. And it's not going to be a straight up rocket ship. Like, it's going to go up and down and up and down, but the overall general path, if everything holds true as to what we've seen in the past, we should see pretty consistent upward momentum in the price.
Yep. And that's kind of the key, is like where are we finally going to see resistance? I mean, this morning it seemed like $75,000 was resistance, but it broke through that. So, I mean, it faltered a little bit at what, 76 something?
76, 574. And then, you know, it's kind of gone back down. And it looks like right now it's hitting kind of around that $75,300 price point. So, I mean, but it's on days like this, like, you're going to get a pop every single day for the most part. Like, so I'm guessing tomorrow we may hit up to 77, 78. You know, it's even possible it could get, like, with the moves that it can do and the moves that it can do so violently right now, especially in price discovery like this, it could all of a sudden be at 80,000 by the end of the week.
Absolutely. And that kind of goes, this channel's not financial advice, but if you've not yet purchased some Bitcoin, you might consider it, because at a certain point here in the near future, it's going to be even way more expensive. And the one thing I don't recommend is getting in when the FOMO really kicks in.
Yeah.
And we're about there right now. So,
yeah, this
if
is
you're going to do it now. Don't wait.
Yeah. Don't wait too much longer. Don't wait and see, well, is it going to pull back? Is it going to go lower? Don't wait. Like, regardless, even if it, so say you buy at 75,000, say you buy at 76, say you buy at 78,000. You know, and then it does, because regardless of what you believe or how the market's acting, Bitcoin is fickle. It will tank the day after you buy it. But then 2 days after you buy it, it'll shoot back up.
Yep.
So
to a new all-time high. So it's something that right now you're riding the dragon.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be exhilarating. It's going to be downright frightening. Just grab on while you can.
You're going to wake up and you're going to be like, oh my God, I made so much money. I'm a genius. And that's the other thing. Don't fall for that, because you're not.
No, you're not.
But yeah, so it's an exciting time. We don't, you know, I didn't want to say necessarily that boosters were lit, but I think we may be either in the countdown or we're taking off from the tower, one of the two. The other thing, you brought this up yesterday and I hadn't seen this yet. I missed it. You saw the job reports number.
Yeah. I mean, you were talking about the price rises, you know, towards the end of October, and things were picking up some steam, and then it lost quite a bit of steam all of a sudden. And one of the things that happened is the jobs report was released, and, we've had quite a bone to pick with the economic data that's coming from the jobs reports, because they put out a number and then they revise it down months later. You know, they'll say we gained 300,000 jobs. And next month they'll say, oh, maybe it was only really 100,000. So they'll be knocking it down several months later. Well, for October 2024, they said that we only gained 12,000 jobs.
Yeah.
And that's not a misspeak. Usually they're talking hundreds of thousands of jobs. We gained 12,000 jobs last week.
Yeah, just for a record on that, basically that's the smallest gain since December of 2020 in the jobs report. So when we look at the month of September, we had, it looks like 220,000 jobs, 78,000 jobs in August, 144,000 in July, 118,000 in June, like 12,000 jobs. So non-farm payrolls increased by 12,000 for the month, down sharply from the September and below the Dow Jones estimate of 100,000. And that's the crazy thing. You brought up the fact that they'll gaslight us, right? Like, they're going to lie to us and tell us that it was so much better. And then it wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So they have no room to go down from 12,000. When they revise the numbers, I mean, we're just going to assume they're going to revise the numbers. There's going to be job losses for October.
Yeah.
So that begs the question, you know, we're hitting that exuberance right now in the stock market and in Bitcoin. How much longer is that going to last?
Yeah, well, I mean, you kind of talked about this, and I know we've mentioned it, liquidity cycles, right? Like, hardcore asset-wise, it's going to still look pretty good, more likely, unless there's something else that completely tanks everything. But the other question that comes into play is, you know, Fed rate cut is going to be announced tomorrow.
Oh, for sure. I mean, with a $12,000 jobs number, I mean, I think they're going to have to cut some rates.
Yeah. What do you think that'll be tomorrow?
I think minimum is 0.50 basis points.
Okay. Yeah, I think it'll be 25 basis points. I don't know if they'll do a full half cut again. They may. And the only reason why I say they may is just because, like you said, after that, looking at that 12,000, like, that's abysmal. It barely shows up on the bar graph that I'm looking at here. And what was it? Was it earlier in September or late August when they were like, well, we had to revise the job report number for the year by 1 million jobs that we overestimated?
I think it was 800,000 jobs, but it's pretty close to 1 million.
Yeah.
They revised that down. That's pretty big.
Yeah, that's pretty major. I think it's an exciting time. I love seeing Bitcoin in price discovery mode. Like, this is when it gets really exciting, and we hadn't really gotten to see that divisive break. You know, we saw the 73,000, and I'm still kind of hesitant at this, because I think last time, I think we had looked at it before, and maybe it was a 75 or 76, but I wanted to say it was like 78,000 that Bitcoin needed to get above to really break above the all-time high adjusted for inflation.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think that's right around the corner. And especially, you know, if the next couple of days they announce a bigger cut than what we were even saying, a lot of that excess liquidity is going to find itself in the gold and the Bitcoin markets.
Yeah.
So buckle up.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. Like, even though we just said, like, we probably will never see Bitcoin below 70,000 again, if something happens, like a black swan event at the economy, and the Fed's got to go in and not only cut rates, but also turn on the money printers, like, you're going to see that K recovery in the stock market and in Bitcoin.
Yeah. It seems to be steeper in Bitcoin when the money printers kick on.
Yeah. A lot faster that it'll bounce back up. But I love this time in the Bitcoin season. But it's also like, I mean, this also is the doorman, like, for if we continue in the path as usual, about a year from now, maybe a little bit less, you know, we'll be in a crypto winter again.
I think so.
So, yeah.
That's going to be my next newsletter. I'm going to talk about signs that the Bitcoin fever is over, or signs to watch out for.
When the top is in, kind of thing.
Yep, it's kind of a few signs to look for when the top is in.
That'll be good. Speaking of that, we also now, all of our episodes are available on YouTube. So it's not video of us because nobody wants to see my hideous mug, but you do get the audio. You did get the audio of the episodes and they're all on there. So if you get a chance, go to the bitbytepodcast.com. Well, go to the BitByte Podcast on YouTube and subscribe to our channel there. If you like to listen to podcasts on YouTube, I do that a lot, but usually there's a video component to it. But a lot of times I don't watch what's going on. I just play it for background noise or listening. Of course, we always have our X channel. My handle is at the BitByte Pod 1, and yours is?
I think it's at the BitByte Pod R.
R, yeah. So, yeah, and then sign up for our newsletter. You can sign up for the newsletter at www.thebitbytepodcast.com/signup. And when you do that, you also get your free hardware wallet checklist just to help keep you, give you the warm and fuzzies when you're doing your own self-custody of your crypto. And you can also go onto our deals page and you can buy yourself a Ledger or a Alipal wallet in case you want to do some self-custody and you want to take real control of your Bitcoin.
Yep.
Anything else you wanted to add?
That's it for me.
Cool. Well, congratulations for those that were kind of single issue voters with Bitcoin and got the Trump win. We hope you guys have a good one and we hope this ride continues for a little bit. I hope when we record again, we're going to be above 80,000.
Oh, this, if not, then who knows? But this cycle is different. So we don't take anything for granted.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you guys for listening.
Bye.